Hello, and thank you for tuning in and listening to Mosley's Bench. This show has been created and designed by former judge Fred M. Mosley. Please stay connected as you will learn more about the law of the life, how it applies to your life, and so much more. Buckle in.
Thank you for tuning in to Mosley's Bench. I am Alexis. Today on the bench, I have His Honor, Judge Mosley and Anita. I'm going to go ahead and hand over the show to you, Judge Mosley.
Thank you, Alexis. The Laws of Life Teaching. And today we are going to endeavor to share with you from another law of life, one I would assume you perhaps have not heard about, and one hopefully we will enlighten you as to how this law of life operates. We've given a definition for a law or for the laws of life. It is an absolute divine rule that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. Now, again, we're going to discuss the law of truth. Now, how many have heard it said, I'm speaking my truth? I'm speaking my truth. What does that mean? I've heard it said, I'm speaking truth to power. I have no idea what that means either. Is this presenting a worldview of some kind dealing with truth? And the reason I ask that question is that the only real truth, the only truth that matters is that truth that comes from God. My truth, your truth, or anybody else's truth makes absolutely no difference if it coincides or conflicts. If it collides, I should say, or conflicts with the truth, the pure truth that only comes from God. Now, we always give you a foundational scripture for each law of life. And as we shared on previous programs, is that not only we offer a foundational scripture, but also the fact that there are corresponding scriptures that come together to develop each of these laws of life, which operate independently and interdependently one to another. Our foundational scripture for the law of truth is found in St. John, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. Jesus said to him, listen closely, I am the way, the truth, the word truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus says he's the way, that there's no other way to the Father but by him, that he stands for the truth of that, and that there's life only in him. Again, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, most times that is considered to be a scripture that only deals with salvation. But I submit to you that it goes beyond salvation, that it speaks almost to every area of our lives as to what the real truth is as it relates to that particular area. Now, all of these laws of life that we have shared thus far and the ones that we intend to share later on, each and every one of them represents a truth from God. And as we go through some of the worldviews, we're going to compare those worldviews against what the true truth is, and that truth comes only from God the Father. Now, a worldview says that there are many ways to salvation. And the scripture we just read speaks to that worldview and it clarifies what the real truth is. And the real truth, again, is found in John 14:6. Jesus says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now, anyone who proposes that there's another way to heaven, it contradicts, it conflicts with this scripture, because this scripture says there's only one way, and that way is by and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The worldview may also say that I can promote myself, that I should promote myself, that I'm expected to promote myself. And if I do not promote myself, I cannot depend on anybody else to promote me. That's what the worldview says. And we have, if I recall correctly, we have touched upon that attitude in previous programs. But what does the real truth say? The real truth says, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. But whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted." That's the real truth. Now, the worldview truth says that I can self-promote. The real truth says that if I promote myself, that I automatically bring myself under abasement. Let's look on. Many in the worldview says I can plant negative seeds, that it does not matter if I plant a few bad seeds here or there, that they will not affect my outcome. The truth says in Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I've heard some in ministry say that whatever I may have done prior to accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, once I became born again, that everything that I may have done prior to my salvation that is under the blood of Jesus, and that there are no consequences that would flow to me prior to my salvation experience. Well, I would say to that position to look at the life of the Apostle Paul. And we know what the Apostle Paul did as it relates to Christians prior to his conversion. And if you would look at the life of the Apostle Paul very closely, you will see that those things that he did prior to his conversion, that many, if not all of those things, came upon him after his conversion. Now, he also, referring to the Apostle Paul, makes note of the fact that he received mercy. He didn't say he was exonerated, but that he received mercy, because what he did it in ignorance. So that worldview, I refer to it as a worldview, but maybe that misguided religious view that says that whatever I may have done prior to my conversion, that is all wiped out. Yes, it's all wiped out with respect to my salvation, But as far as the consequences, there still will be and probably have already begun to be some consequences to exhibit themselves even after conversion. And I submit to you that is the real truth concerning what one may have done prior to conversion. I know this is not something that many would want to hear, but it applies to all of us. Let's move on. Some in this worldview or in a religious view may take the position that the words that I utter from my mouth don't hurt, that they're not significant. What I may say something that's in very in a light mood, and it does not affect me at all. Well, let's look at what the truth says. The truth says, by my words am I justified, and by my words I am condemned. It goes further to say that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Some of you may have heard this saying, I know I did growing up, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words don't bother me. Now, when we look at what the truth says words do. Their words are significant. Words do hurt. Some under this worldview, our religious view, may each time the seasons change, and especially as an area starts to go into the fall and winter season, they make the statement that I get the flu every fall season, every winter. I'm laid up in bed several days, sometimes even longer, from the flu. And I've gotten to a point that I expect during flu season, that I am going to contract the flu. Well, let's look at what the truth says. The truth says, by his stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And even if the flu endeavors to attach itself to my body, I can walk it out in my healing, and flu will not take authority over me or any other affliction or disease based upon the truth of the word that says I'm healed by the stripes of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another position that's taken by the believing community, as well, of course, as non-believers, is that you never know what God will do. But let's look at the truth, and especially as it relates to the believing community. The word of God says, I will do nothing unless I first reveal it to my servants, the prophets. God has said to us, he has committed himself not to allow us as his children to be caught by surprise. So this notion that you never know what God will do is contrary to the real truth. The real truth of Scripture is that God wants us to know, and that he has put notice and warning in every component of life. Whereas if we're sensitive to what he is saying, we will not be caught by surprise. Another worldview and or a religious view is that when I pray, I don't know whether or not, when I pray that God could answer me in three different ways. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's maybe. But what does the real truth say about my prayer life and what I can expect to be an answer that comes forth from the prayer or the petition that I've lifted up? The truth is, and this is contained in the word, that all the promises of God, a yea and amen to the glory of God. The truth says that all of God's promises. So, yes, it doesn't say anything about no and maybe. Now, let me clarify. There's another scripture under the law of prayer that says that makes it clear that it must be according to God's will, that anything that I pray that is according to God's will, that he hears me and I have the petitions that I desire of him. It's no no and no maybe. It's a yes. And that yes is only conditioned upon me praying, or my praying, the will of God in that particular circumstance. Why don't we take a short break, and we'll continue on with the worldview or the religious view and or the true view of each of these areas that we've mentioned. We'll take a short break. We'll be back.
Thank you for tuning in to Mosley's Bench. To learn more about his honor, the 50 Laws of Life, and to purchase his books and or workbooks, please visit anotherchancemedia.org. Once again, anotherchancemedia.org. Thank you. Back to the show.
A worldview, a religious view, takes the position, I can hang out with worldly people. I can do a lot of things that they do, and it really does not affect my Christian walk. It does not negatively impact my testimony. But what does the truth say as it relates to that attitude? There's scripture that says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? The truth says that if I have closely associated and aligned myself with somebody who insists upon walking contrary to the word of God, I am in at least some form of agreement with that person's lifestyle, and as a result, I'm accountable and responsible just as that person is. That is what the truth says. Going back to our foundational scripture, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And this is the truth, the real truth that comes forth from scripture. That worldly view or that religious view says, I have a right to get back at people who have hurt me, that I have a right to get them back. And that's how life is, that if somebody transgressed against me and I know who they are, I have a right as a human being walking this earth, I have a right to get them back. Well, let's see what the real truth says. The truth, and that's explained to us by and through scripture. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. The real truth comes from our Father God that says you don't have the authority to get back at anybody. That is within my authority. It is within my purview. And that is something that I take care of. And you are infringing upon my authority when you endeavor to take out vengeance on another person. That's the truth of the matter of getting back at somebody else. That view, that worldview, and or that sometimes religious view is that there are some things that I may get into that I can never get out of. Now, the truth is contained in another verse of scripture, and that verse of scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, and it says to us, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So we're told that regardless of the situation or the circumstance that we may find ourselves, and especially as believers, that God always has a way to get us out of it. That's the truth of the matter. There's another attitude that I'm grown and I don't have to give account to anyone. Well, what is the truth of the matter? The truth of the matter is that every one of us must give an account of himself to God. Before we touch upon several other attitudes and the truth as it relates to that attitude, let's see if we have any questions or comments concerning the law of the truth.
Any questions? Go ahead. Alexa, you want to go first?
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask a question, Judge Mosley. So being honest has everything to do with our integrity, and we did touch base on integrity in another podcast. So my question to you is, what do we do about someone who just is never truthful? They only tell half truth, or they only tell the truth to make themselves shine in a better light, if that makes sense?
Well, yes, it does. Some individuals carry what I refer to as a lying spirit. And scripture makes reference to a lying spirit. And if you're dealing with someone who has a compulsion to lie and are not in any ways convicted by way of the fact that they have difficulty telling the truth, there comes a time that if you are going to have any kind of a relationship with that person, that they are going to have to be confronted with respect to the fact that they have a problem with truth. Also, we've talked previously about the law of agreement, because if one associates on a very close basis with a person who is a chronic liar, that individual will also oftentimes have a reputation that they may be one who has difficulty telling the truth. And there are one or two other laws of life that we're going to discuss that deal with the issue of how good manners can be corrupted, as a law of corruption, and one or two other laws of life. So back to your question, Alexis, I just think that, and this is not being better than anybody else or trying to be holier than thou or anything such as that, but we have to recognize when a person has a commitment to doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, we have to determine how far our relationship can go in that particular circumstance. Now, sometimes God says you have to withdraw from that person and pray for them at a distance. Anita, I think you had a question or a comment.
Yes, I did. Paul says for us to put on the armor of God, and part of that is putting on the belt of truth, and he tells us to do that first, so it must be really important. Could you explain that?
That's a very good observation, and that's another confirmation of part of that armor being the spirit of truth. And we as believers need to be aware of the truth of what the Word says and not be swayed by what society says, that worldview, colloquialisms, or whatever it may be. We want to be steadfast when we put on that whole armor of God, that we have truth on that we should also be incorporated with truth as it relates to every component of life. That's a very good observation, and thanks for bringing that to our attention. The law of truth. In the...
I was going to say, we only have a couple of minutes left. So any final thoughts, Anita, Judge Mosley?
Anita, you can go first if you choose.
Yeah, just I'm so impressed that the truth has to be the basis for everything, to accept the truth of God, and then everything else kind of falls around that.
Very good observation. And unfortunately, many believers do not know what the truth is as relates to many aspects of life, and we have been indoctrinated over the years with respect to what the world considers to be truth and what the real truth is. And as Anita has brought to our attention, when we put on the full armor of God, truth should be part of that apparel that we put on in the spirit realm on a daily basis and walk in that truth that is of God and of God only and is not corrupted by any other truth. And hopefully our listeners will take heed to what the real truth is and start to dig into their Bibles, where they can better understand the truth of God.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mosley's Bench with former Judge Fred M. Mosley. To get more information on Fred M. Mosley, Mosley's Bench, The Laws of Life, or the nonprofit organization Justice Ministries, please tune in to the website at lawsoflifecourt.com or justiceministriesintl.com. Once again, that's lawsoflifecourt.com or justiceministriesintl.com. Thank you.